Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the New York eHealth Collaborative Health Home Implementation Series. Today's topic, vendor selection. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you would like to ask a question during the presentation, please use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, January 24, 2012. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Jacqueline Brinson, Program Manager for New York eHealth Collaborative. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank you for taking the time to participate in our session today. This is the first of a series of about 5 or 6 training sessions, or informational sessions, if you will, and we're starting the series with vendor selection. So the agenda for our session today, I'll give a background on the New York eHealth Collaborative in the event that folks on the phone are not really familiar with all of these services and resources that we provide. I will provide some information on what is a health home, since some folks on the phone may be new to that designation. We will review the key steps for effective vendor selection and talk about different resources and tools for vendor selection. So the New York eHealth Collaborative is a not-for-profit organization working to improve healthcare for all New Yorkers through health information technology. Founded in 2006 by healthcare leaders, NICE receives funding from state and federal grants to serve as the focal point for health IT in the state of New York. NICE works to develop policies and standards to assist healthcare providers in making the shift to electronic health records and coordinates the creation of a network to connect healthcare providers statewide. So what is a health home? Many Medicaid beneficiaries suffer from multiple chronic conditions that can benefit from improved coordination and management of health and long-term services they receive from the health home. So the health home is a strategy to achieve these improvements similar to medical home and primary care case management. Health homes are designed to be person-centered systems of care that facilitate access to and coordination of the full array of primary and acute physician health services, behavioral health care, and long-term community-based services and support. The health home model expands the delivery on the traditional medical home models, building linkages and enhancing coordination and integration of medical and behavioral health care to better meet the needs of people with multiple chronic illnesses. So health homes are expected to provide or facilitate a robust list of capabilities. They're expected to have capacity for whole person approach to care, identifying clinical and non-clinical services and supports. So health homes should provide quality-driven, cost-effective, and culturally appropriate person and family-centered health home services. Coordinate and provide access to preventative and health promotion services, including mental health, substance abuse, comprehensive care management, care coordination, transitional care across settings, chronic disease management, individual and family support, as well as including referrals to community and social support and long-term supports and services. Health homes must develop a care plan for each individual that coordinates all clinical and non-clinical services and supports to address the person's health-related needs. Health homes are expected to use health IT to link services, facilitate communication between and among providers, individuals, caregivers, and provide feedback to practices. Health homes are also expected to establish continuous quality improvement programs and collect and report data that support the evaluation of health homes. So when we talk about vendor selection and where the New York eHealth Collaborative spends a lot of its time and energy, it's in the primary care space. But the framework for selecting an effective vendor is typically the same. So we're going to walk through key steps to effective vendor selection. And at the conclusion of the first 5 steps, we'll pause for questions and answers and then frame the approach back to the health home. Okay, So there are about 10 key steps to vendor selection we're going to walk through. And through this presentation, we're going to identify resources that are available to you guys as health homes, whether primary care or not, and other organizations that will support this initiative for you. So the first thing that you would want to do is research the marketplace. So when you do your research, the goal is to increase your knowledge about the software landscape. What types of EHRs are out there? Am I interested in an EHR Lite? Is that compliant with federal regulations? Do I have a billing system? Do I just need a clinical software application? Am I a behavioral health provider and I need something specifically tailored to those needs? What do the HIEs in the network look like and how they can all support my initiative? And I'm keeping health homes and the capabilities we talked about a couple of slides ago in mind. And when you understand your marketplace, you can develop context so you can evaluate your vendors knowledgeably. What types of deployment? If someone used the term SaaS, do I really know what that means as compared to client server? And then lastly, when you do your research, you want to make sure you understand how you do things in your clinical setting or how you think you may want to do things as a health home. And when you understand that workflow, you can include that framework in your understanding or discussion with providers. It's a very large investment to adopt technology, so you want to make sure that investment goes the right way, a long way, using the technology to support the clinical workflows you have in place. Now, as you would see at the bottom of the screen, there's a little oval circle to the right, and it identifies a tool. So tools will become available to the health home recipients on the NICE website, and I will explain where that will happen later on in this presentation. And keep in mind that there are tools to address many of the different steps in the health home or vendor selection process. So one of the questions that I know primary care providers ask is, where do I go to find credible vendors, credible resources, credible consultants? And I wanted to make sure that we provide this information to you. So Certified HIT Product List, the CHAPL website, provides a comprehensive list of complete and modular EHRs that have been tested by ONC for meaningful use. Even providers who participate in health homes may be eligible for those EHR incentive programs, so I suggest you take a look at what's available, the eligibility requirements, and if you can go ahead and enroll, that helps defray the cost of the implementation of these technologies. So as of the other day, there are about 1,108 ambulatory care EHRs that are certified, of which 702 of them are complete EHRs. In the inpatient space, there are 548, of which 134 are complete EHRs. And when you're looking at products in the Certified Health IT Product List, or CHAPL, they're all certified for an initiative called Meaningful Use. And Meaningful Use is just a framework or guidance of activities that should help someone optimize use of their technology. When you look at the specifics of what that initiative is spelling out, there are core and menu objectives as well as quality measures. It tries to drive you to document those pieces of information in discrete fields for reporting and helps you leverage the various features of your health record to provide assessments, to provide other types of advanced clinical decision support to improve your, ability to coordinate care. Where else can I go to find research on different types of systems that may be available to me as a provider servicing populations? Review certification bodies. The Certification Commission for Health Information Technology, or CCHIT, as well as their other certification bodies, critiques and evaluates different EHR systems, ambulatory, inpatient, emergency departments, long-term, post-acute, and behavioral health EHRs. And what CCHIT does, and I like to use them as a reference, is that they provide the test scripts right on their website. So you can really go through what each of these systems have been required to demonstrate to receive that certification. In addition, they also list the various systems that have been certified. Medicare medical societies and departments of health have also have done their due diligence when it comes to providing information in different vendor systems. Medical societies, whether in New York State or around New York State, have vetted various vendor partners that their stakeholders have and have published lists of which vendor softwares are best suited for different types of specialties. The Department of Health in New York City, as well as the Office of Mental Health, I believe, associated with DOHMH, have also underwent several types of vetting processes of vendors who they have contracted with or in the process of to determine that software application can really meet the needs of their stakeholders and providers. The regional extension centers are also resources for you guys to use to leverage lists of vendor software applications, again, who have gone through rigorous testing and evaluation and review to ensure that they meet meaningful use and have the capabilities to push healthcare forward in their respective industries, ambulatory care and beyond. And lastly, there are local extension agents in RIOs. And when I use the term extension agent, I'm referring to consultants right in your backyards who are familiar with EHR assessment, deployment, HIE, contracting, and the like. And they are more than able and capable to assist you in your search for a vendor system. So these are just a couple of the outlets that you have to do your research on what types of applications and software systems are in the marketplace to serve your needs. Okay, so we've done our market research. Now we need to prioritize our requirements. You want to understand your organization's needs, since that is a very important component of the vendor selection process. Are there operational challenges that you may want to solve? This might be an appropriate time to document your current state workflows and identify inefficiencies. You may want to map out the health home requirements and capabilities you need to fulfill and identify potential gaps in existing processes. Involve all of the relevant stakeholders in this discussion. Everyone who has a role to play in providing care may have valuable input into the assessment of your workflow processes. And then after you've identified all of these organizational needs, highlight the ones that are must-haves versus the nice-to-haves. The must-haves would be those items that are critical for you to complete your service to your patients and to meet the deliverables of the initiatives that you're striving for. So we prioritize our requirements. You want to obtain buy-in. Identify the decision makers who must approve the project. Make a compelling case for your argument. Identify existing challenges and present the case for additional functional needs if there are gaps in your processes today. Communicate how the software will improve charge capture, improve compliance with certain government regulations, and support care coordination. Also summarize budgetary requirements for purchase. There are indirect costs, license costs, interface costs, as well as training costs that may come into play as you implement technology, enhance your existing technologies, or change technologies altogether. And then lastly, you want to make sure you secure approval to commence your search for your software products. So we have our research data, we've prioritized our requirements, we have the go to move forward. You want to identify a list of potential vendors. So a rule of thumb that I know a lot of regional extension centers tend to advocate for our providers is that you probably do not want to look at more than 5 software products in the marketplace. So to reach your target list, and again, I mentioned there was about 1,000 ambulatory care products, if we're using that as a framework, eliminate systems that do not support your specialty. You may also want to eliminate systems that are not applicable to your organizational size. Think about the things that you must have in your workflows to achieve your end goals. If the system does not have it today, it's not in the development roadmap, that might not be one of the systems you would want to vet as you move forward in your selection process. Determine the cost of software. If the application is too expensive for your organization to sustain, that may not be a viable system for you. And lastly, if you need to, conduct and request for information into the marketplace and outline exactly what your requirements are and have the vendor community respond back to you. So once you have your short list and you have your requirements and you know how you want to coordinate your information, invite your vendors to demo their applications for you, and that is step five. You want to invite your vendors to demo, and prior to getting that live demonstration, you want to educate your vendors on your project. The more information that the vendor has about your organization and your needs, the better they are able to demonstrate how their products will meet those needs. Communicate critical functional features you expect your software to support. Explain the unique specifications of health homes and how you think you would be able to use your existing approaches or maybe new approaches in your system to achieve the end goal. Describe your expected implementation timeline. If you have a tight crunch, put your cards on the table early and have the vendor meet those expectations or provide a different pathway that would still get you to the end in a timeline that's reasonable for you. Also share the names of other systems you are considering. Sometimes competition is not a bad thing. So at this time, I would like to pause for a minute and see if there are any questions that came in through chat or if folks had any questions on the material about the vendor selection process to date. So, operator, can we go to questions now?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. Also, if you would like to ask a question, please use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. One moment, please, for the first question.
Thank you. And I think while that's queuing up, I'm just going through the chat, and let's see if there are any questions that came in during the presentation I can answer while Frank's queuing up the chat here. So the PowerPoint slides, all PowerPoint presentation slides will be posted on the Medicaid website. And at the conclusion of this particular session, probably within a day or so, we'll get an email out to all the health home applicants on exactly where the slides will be and when they will be and when they are up. So that way you'll know exactly where those are. Okay, there's another question. What do you mean by complete EHR? Complete EHR is a full system as compared to a modular EHR, which would be an application that can meet a few of the needs of a healthcare clinic. So, for example, for years folks have e-prescribed, but they did so via a modular system. So Dr. First would have a module that would allow a provider to send electronically a script through the network. But they may not have had a complete system that included e-prescribing, and when I mean complete, a system that has the clinical note integrated with a practice management system for billing. So that's a very, I think, clear example of what a modular is. So complete would be the opposite. A system that you can document clinical notes, provide registration information, insurance eligibility checking, drug-to-drug allergies, manage labs, and that type of thing. So hopefully that distinction helps between complete by comparing it to modular. Frank, are there other questions?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, so give me 2 more seconds. Let me go through the chat and see if there's anything that I'm capable of addressing. Okay. So in looking at some of these questions, I think they're outside of the scope of items I'm able to answer in the context of vendor selection. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and collect these questions and ensure that we get them answered and published somewhere so we can address what those are. So the questions that are coming in through chat, just so folks are on the same page, is how does a health home differ from behavioral health organization? They may be one and the same, and a behavioral health organization may be a component of a health home. Another question, are health homes expected to use Medicaid claims data to identify gaps in care related to health maintenance such as colonoscopy at age 50, hemoglobin A1C for DM patients? I'm not sure I can address that question at this time. Additional question, how does the uniform clinic record developed last year by New York State OMH fit in? I'm not sure if I can address that as well. How does a health home differ? Okay, that we already said that one. And then when will money be ready for long-term care? Can you, Mr. Donahue, elaborate a little more on that for me, please? And many are using electronic health records. What about interoperability? Okay, I think I would like to address that question, but let me get through this process, and then we'll go ahead and pull that all back together. So please, Barbara, don't let me forget. Okay, so again, the questions that are not related to vendor selection, I will go ahead and collect those and make sure we find answers to them. And when we notify you of where the webinar series are going to be posted, we'll include the answers to those questions on that page as well. Okay, so we've done our market research. We've obtained our requirements, and some of your requirements may be to be interoperable. And if that's the case, I hope you would have told your EHR vendor that you need to connect to an HIE and the HIE of your choice. And hopefully in your demonstration or in your conversations, they have elaborated where they are in that roadmap of connecting to that HIE. And if not, then there's other questions that you may need to ask your vendor software in this vetting process. So we have all of our information and our inputs. You want to look at your EHR vendor system. And to do that, you want to see the system in action. Some vendors provide opportunities to try a system for free or to have a day where you can actually touch and feel the application. So provide your prospective vendor with a demo script. How do you do things? How do you expect to communicate with other providers? Highlight those features and functional needs. And request a demonstration of the reporting and aggregate data requirements. If you provide all of that information to your vendor up front, hopefully they can integrate your specific questions and workflows into the demonstration that you would receive. In addition, you want to make sure that the participants that are looking at the demonstration include a range of folks from your organization. Too many times is that cohort of staff members that are evaluating your system limited to the folks who are making that decision, and the key folks that are doing the day-to-day workflows are excluded. So make sure you have a full range of folks who understand your needs and they're participating in that demonstration. Use a scorecard. Document what you like about the system. Was it usable? Was it complete? Did it meet all of your functional capabilities? And gather feedback from the entire team that scored the system. And then you want to use that information in your evaluation process. So now we've demoed several systems. You want to rank your software. Identify the systems that include your must-have requirements. The ones that have liked the haves may not meet your needs. Eliminate those applications that do not meet those needs for you. And then once you come up with your short list of EHR systems or any application that you're looking for, schedule a second demo. And this time you want to take a look at system capabilities. Is it easy to configure? Can I have templates? Can I have options that I didn't have before? How's the data organized? Does it communicate with the interoperability requirements that you expect? Ask about the development roadmap. If you're on a systems application that does not integrate with your RIO, you probably want to ask when is the opportunity for that discussion and can that be put into the development roadmap, what's the timelines, and how can I go ahead and do that. You also want to gather and compare price quotes of all of the vendors that your short list of vendors. Price should not be the only decision maker to establish an application that you're interested in moving forward with. Obtain detailed price quotes from your key vendors and make sure you provide them sufficient data to do so. How many primary care, how many specialists, and what type of specialty licenses, how many mid-levels, what's the cost per license, what's the cost per interface? Laboratory immunizations, RIO connections, data conversions for some vendors are not embedded in a package if you didn't work with an organization that grouped those together. Find out what the cost of those interfaces are. Customization, I want my templates to look XYZ way. What is that going to cost my organization if that's the vendor we feel we want to go to? Cost of reporting tools, you may need additional reporting servers and applications in order to do the reporting you may need to do. Cost of support, what does that support model look like? And training, is it all remote? Can I get somebody on site? Do I have to pay per day, per hour? And then how many hours of training are included in the packages that I'm being sold? And then lastly, cost of upgrades. I would not assume that upgrades are included in your service package. You want to ask the question up front and what types of upgrades may come with a price tag to them. And lastly, request a copy of the service agreement. You want to peruse what you're buying into before you go ahead and sign any paperwork. Verify references and whether or not the vendor is sustainable. I'm going to benchmark from the ambulatory care space. There are about 1,000 ambulatory care systems in the marketplace. That's a lot. How many of them are going to stand the test of time? We're not sure. So you want to make sure that the vendor partner that you select, if it's an EHR, if it's a behavioral health EHR, or what have you, that it's going to be around. Talk to existing users of the system that look like you, same size, similar services deployed into the market. Ask them, what do you like about the system? What do you not like about the system? What would you change? Ask about how responsive is the vendor to your support inquiries, to your development requests, and do they take feedback of users as they start to make changes to their application on a go forward? How was that implementation process for you? You want to make sure you understand exactly what the culture is of the vendor so you can manage your expectations effectively. Ask the vendor about their financial position and strategic viability. Are they going to get certified for meaningful use stage two? Are they going to sustain independent certifications? If their certifications around interoperability, is that a part of their strategic roadmap? So that way you can make sure you can connect to the network that you need to connect to in a way that makes sense to you. So make sure you're verifying references, go visit them, and also assess the sustainability and financial position of your desired EHR partner. And lastly, review the software license agreement. There was an article not too long ago that spoke to the fact that these agreements are not really, really friendly. You want to make sure you get the best deal. Ask about industry discounts. Some vendors probably will not go ahead and employ those for you, but it can't hurt to ask. Purchase through other organizations that have negotiated pricing. I know both regional extension centers in New York State have negotiated pricing if you have not made a purchase or if you're looking to change. We also have very good relationships with the majority of the vendors in the state and can probably advocate for discounts that may not be available to folks approaching the vendor directly in the market. So leverage these organizations as you move forward. Understand the upfront costs versus the ongoing costs and what the difference are. Again, can you sustain that particular EHR system? Look out for auto renewal clauses and make sure that they apply with state law. There are several auto renewal clauses in New York that a vendor should not have in their application. Other things to think about, warranties and grant guarantees. Are there guarantees for meaningful use, a functional commitment, upgrade timing, so you guys are in time with those initiatives as they move forward? Software usability, is there a functional commitment version to version, and what is that? Regulatory compliance, how are they making sure they're keeping up with the things that change? Meeting 5010 if you have a practice management and doing billing. Meaningful use stage two is one of them. Changes in interoperability across the state. Implementation. What's the timeline that you mutually agree upon, and what are the guarantees that you get to the end? Support and maintenance. So there are a handful of things that we'll provide a tool for you guys on that you should think about when you're contracting with your vendor partners. Fee increases, interfaces, terminations, transitions. There's a handful of things you may want to think about. Okay, so I think we've covered all the high-level steps on vendor selection. So let's do a quick recap. I'll go through the chat and see if there are any questions that I can go ahead and answer. Anything that's out of scope on this particular topic, please go ahead and reference the health, will be referred to the health home program. We'll refer those. So I just want to make sure I reiterate that for the folks on the phone and get answers to those questions for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1-4 on your telephone. You can also use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. One moment, please, for the first question.
Okay, so I'll go through the chat while we're waiting. And there are actually questions that range from folks who are adopted and folks who are not adopted. So let's bear with us as we try to address the needs of everyone on the phone. So there are questions, will monies be provided to assist in the development and implementation of EHRs and explain the difference between an EHR and a RIO? So there are dollars available to support the implementation of EHRs. I would suggest you reach out to the regional extension centers, the New York eHealth Collaborative, as well as NYC REACH. NYC REACH focuses on the New York City territory, the other organization, New York State, and their websites were included in earlier slides. And if you search those two organizations, you can pull those up. So the difference between an EHR and a RIO, an EHR is an electronic health record, is a tool used by clinicians to document healthcare information. When you use the term EHR, it's typically a practice management system as well as a clinical system together. A RIO is a regional health information office, and they spend their time and energy supporting HIEs using EHRs to connect providers and share information. And there are several of them across the state, and I know it's a very high-level answer. I'm just trying to get through these questions the best way we can. Reimbursement from government for EHRs. The meaningful use incentive programs, and there are folks on this call that may be eligible for both of those programs, are eligible for folks who are EPs and EP definitions for Medicare and Medicaid. As long as you meet those eligibility criteria, you should be eligible for those EHR incentive programs, one through Medicaid, one through Medicare. Are you familiar with sites such as DocSite or Practice Fusion, and if so, are they approved tools? What I would suggest if you're looking for EHRs is to go ahead and go onto the CHAPL website, and that would list all of the certified EHRs for meaningful use. I would also take a look at CCHIT. CCHIT certifies for meaningful use as well as other applications, behavioral health, long-term care, and the like. Those are resources you can use to look up vendor systems. Vendors that the regional extension centers have relationships with are posted on both of those websites, one for the New York eHealth Collaborative, which is nyehealth.org, and the other one is NYC REACH, which is nycreach.org. Okay, the questions are coming in pretty quickly, faster than I can actually read them. So let me go ahead and complete the presentation. Let's open this up for discussion because I think there are a couple of questions about how EMRs lack care coordination and how we may need to talk about bridging the gap in order to meet the deliverables of the health homes. So I hope the high-level overview of vendor selection makes sense, since there's a mix of folks on the phone who have not engaged in EHR, I think, discussions and those that have. So lastly, there are several resources and tools that have been highlighted in the presentation I wanted to bring us back to. And these tools come out of the SCP process for the most part and were developed by folks who are engaged in EHR adoption and HIE adoption across the state. The first one is the Workflow Optimization Toolkit, which was developed by the SCP process and includes several guides for documenting and thinking about redesigning your clinical processes. The second is an EHR software evaluation spreadsheet. It outlines different things for usability as well as EHR functionality in a table form for folks to use to go ahead and evaluate vendor software systems. So as you look at that particular software, you can go ahead and feel free to tailor the Excel spreadsheet to meet the specialties that you guys represent. And that way you have an organized way of evaluating your EHR systems or other systems that you may be implementing as you look to help support the Health Home Initiative. The Fort Drum Financial Planning Tool is a spreadsheet that's geared toward helping folks budget for HIT implementation. It takes into consider any revenue streams as well as all of the hardware and licensing costs that you may need to include in your planning decisions. And lastly, there's a document that the regional extension centers, in conjunction with EHRA, EHR vendors that outline contract terms, a purchaser of technology should pay attention to. That document is actually being finalized this week and will be posted with all of the other tools. And I think it's definitely a worthwhile document to look at since it has the buy-in of both the vendor and the regional extension center community. The tools that I've mentioned and several others will be posted on the New York eHealth Collaborative website the week of February 6th, and that communication will go out to everyone once those documents are up, and we can go ahead and take a look at those, and we'll add to those as we need to. So just some final thoughts. Now, the perspective that we approached this presentation was from primary care. And as you think about the health homes and what the mission is there, there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. When you think about your health home, how will you begin to coordinate care across different care settings? You want to evaluate the workflow that you think you may want to envision for communication amongst your disparate systems and organizations that should be supported. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to communicate between an EHR with the lead applicant, with the RIO, and what data do you need to share? How is that going to work? Map that workflow out for you. And then as you look at that workflow, does the existing technology support that? Are your interfaces in place? Are there documentation needs that you didn't have before that you need now, given the types of communications that you're having? Do you have a module in your technologies today that are going to help you coordinate care of the patients that you have? So if not, and your workflow says you need all of these things, what additional tools do you need to develop or to purchase to connect your health home? Is that a care management tool? Is that another application with your EHR that can be connecting to the RIO in your network? And then once you determine what those additional tools that you need to develop, purchase, or assimilate into your health home, what types of data will you need to share? Is it just the CCD? Plans of care? Are there therapy sessions? How does that data come from my system in my EHR and connect and can be shared with others? Do the RIOs accept those types of things? So these are the types of questions you guys have to think about in order to ensure that you have effective sharing of the data that you need to share in order to successfully care for these groups of patients. Talk to other health home applicants. Talk to the RIOs and other stakeholders. Learn from others what models exist and what works. Understand the capabilities in the market and make informed decisions. Now, it's my understanding that this initiative is pretty new, so make sure that you try to validate the information you're receiving from folks in the marketplace. Has a vendor done this type of thing before, and if so, where did they do it? Are the RIOs available to me, and I'm quite sure they are, and what types of documents and data sharing do they support? Or do I need something altogether different to put on top of this infrastructure? Okay, so that concludes the session on vendor selection, and I think there are a handful of questions in chat that are worth addressing, and I would like to take the time to do so, and folks can definitely chime in. But I want to make sure I present the information to you for the second session. The second session will be on privacy and security. The presenter will be Sharon Berry, who's the training coordinator here at NYC, New York eHealth Collaborative, excuse me. And Sharon has spent a significant amount of time working with our field agents to ensure they understand what's required for meaningful use in terms of privacy and security, as well as other organizations around the country to ensure that the requirements that are in these tools meet those needs and will ensure they guide you effectively. That training session will be held on February 16th. That's a Thursday at 2:30. I've included the registration link in this slide deck, which will be posted on the Medicaid website, and then we will go ahead and share the registration information so you guys can go ahead and register for that particular session. And then lastly, I'm going to share my contact information. If there's anything that I can help you with regard to vendor selection, I'm more than happy to do so. And while you peruse that, I want to take a look at the questions that have come through the chat. Okay, a question about ONC certification. Someone was asking about New York State CRI certification. Can someone break down that acronym for me so I can better address that question? There was another question on outsourced cloud or build in-house. So I think you're referring to the difference between a SaaS model versus a client-server model. A client-server model is when the data is held inside the healthcare center. You own your data. It sits on a server that's in your office. A SaaS model is a little different. It's of software as a service. And what happens is that the vendor takes ownership of that information and is stored at a data center. And again, there are pricing differences between both of those deployments as well as a hardware difference. Considering health homes, how do you suggest that we bridge the gap between the EHR's lack of care coordination module and the different coordination software utilized among the providers in the network? Very good question. And I'm afraid there may not be a right or wrong answer to that per se. I would take a look at your EHR system, and many of them are developing care coordination modules. And there are also care coordination software applications that you may want to put on top of that. That's something you would have to determine based on your care needs and what's available to you in your software application and the RIA you're connecting to. I don't think I would have a definitive answer on that. So I guess my question to you is, what's your expected workflow and how are you managing care coordination today and what's missing? Is there a list of care coordination software that are interoperable with the RIOs? I would suggest asking your RIO if there's applications that they've been working with that provides that service for you. Can you give us information on who to contact to apply for meaningful use funds? There are two places I would suggest you start first. The first would be the regional extension centers. Digesting meaningful use in terms of for the funding mechanisms and how do you go about applying has been an arduous task. If you're in New York City, please reach out to NYC Reach. And if you service an area, your provider service an area outside of New York City, please go ahead and log on to www.nyehealth.org and select Regional Extension Center. And then someone would be able to direct you and provide you information on exactly what you need to do there. Okay. In answer to one of the questions, the New York State Clinical Records Initiative, sponsored by the New York State Office of Mental Health and Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, is focused on developing uniform clinical forms to assist treatment providers that also complied with the data regulatory requirements of the two state agencies. Mental health and substance abuse disorder providers do not have to use these specific forms in the purchased EHR, but they should make sure the EHR collects the data elements and complies with the state requirements or otherwise customization will be necessary. Very good point. Thank you for bringing that to light. So that's another thing. Do your homework. What data elements are you required to capture? And then that would be in your must-haves. And you want to make sure that your EHR system can capture that information. And if not, what's the cost for that level of customization to get you to where you need to be to comply with those requirements? We already have Cerner electronic medical record in place at our organization. Will we need to do anything else going forward? That's a very big question. I think you need to assess exactly what your level of interaction is in your health home and then define what information you need to share or store or document and then have that conversation with Cerner once you figure out what your inputs are. Cerner is a very robust medical record, but until you define exactly what your requirements are, I'm not sure if we can answer that question on the phone here. Okay, someone is asking about developments. Can we report on regarding the consolidation of RIOs into one platform? I'm not sure if you're looking specifically on where the New York eHealth Collaborative is in terms of standards or what market shifts are taking place in the RIO world. Can someone please elaborate on that question? And then lastly, can you list any standard bodies specifically providing guidelines for EHR at a national level? There were two, the ONC. So if you go onto the CHAPL website, CHPL, that's the Certified Health Information Technology Products list, there's a list of folks who would be certified for meaningful use. That would be where the feds are going. That's the ONC certification. That's not the only certifying body. CCHIT has been certifying EHRs above and beyond where ONC is. So I suggest looking at both of those particular organizations and seeing which guidelines that they've used for certifying, EHRs. And then to clarify in the RIO question, market shifts among the RIOs. I'm not sure if I can comment on that. I think the RIOs are going to go ahead and make whatever changes they need to support their market base. So if you have specific questions, the appropriate organization to address those questions to would be those RIOs. Are there any other questions that I may have missed that are in the context of EHR adoption, vendor selection in general, resources available to organizations like yourselves to understand meaningful use, care coordination? Just additional resources for you. Please do not discount the New York State Medicaid site. They do have a very robust section on the Medicaid EHR incentive program. That's also a very, very good resource for you. What are common EHR product features? That's a very, very robust list. It would include anything from being able to document clinical information in structured format, laboratories, vitals, being able to provide drug-to-drug interaction, drug formulary checks. That's a very, very robust. What I would suggest is go through the meaningful use specific criteria first, and if you Google meaningful use, it will come up with a list of minimum functional requirements that a provider would need to comply with in order to successfully or effectively use technology. I would start there and then start to look at all the other vendor products that are in the marketplace. Are there any vendors you may suggest for case management firms? Since case management is a little bit out of scope for me, I cannot suggest that at the moment, but I'm quite sure if you go ahead and take a look at what's available in the marketplace, you would be able to find those organizations. There are several vendors I know that have been vetted by other medical societies in other states. I can gladly make sure we provide that information in the roster of questions if that would be helpful. Are there any other questions, or are there other folks on the phone who have had unique approaches to how they're going to facilitate these health homes they would like to share with other folks?
There are no questions on the phone at this time, but I would like to remind participants to register a question to please press the 1-4 on your telephone.
So the question was, would you say that your local RIO could recommend EMRs? Certainly. And I think they're a very great resource. They know exactly what should be documented, where data may be documented in the health record, and how that can connect to them. So they're absolutely a resource that you should use to identify an electronic medical record that would be worthwhile for you and your organization. I am not familiar with Precision Care. Is that a type of service or a system software? I'm sorry, I'm not clear there. So I know care management integration is something that health homes and the RIOs are beginning to address, especially in looking for similar data sets. Precision Care, I'm not familiar with that software application.
Pardon me, Ms. Benson, we have a question on the phone.
Sure.
We have a question from Mike from Disconset Center for Nursing and Rehab. Please proceed.
Okay, my question is still, with long-term care, has the government decided when we're going to get reimbursed? Like, you know, if you do it in this year, you get so much back, because that's kind of holding us back into getting into electronic medical records.
So you're talking
for nursing homes.
So you're talking about aligning long-term care with the current EHR incentive program?
Yes.
I have not seen anything come out on where they are with moving forward with long-term care.
So we're kind of in a holding pattern, I guess, or if they will at all.
I have not seen any information with regard to to where they are with long-term care.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Fair
question, but it's something that we need to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, because that'll probably hold us back from, you know, fully implementing what we're going to need to do.
Sure, I understand. Haven't seen anything, though.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions on the phone.
Okay, another question came in through chat. EMRs may make sense if the health home is a physician practice, but for agencies where the focus is care management and not medical care provision, a case management system makes more sense. Do you know if these software have a certifying body? I don't think they have a certifying body and call themselves certifying in case management. I think you might have case management modules or applications under a different name. So I would go to the CCHIT website and look at the behavioral health group and then look at their test scripts, because I believe in that group of care, case management is very important. And then use that as a framework to guide your search for those types of vendor systems. And then I think the question that you may also want to think about is your systems need to be able to facilitate exchange. So how are they going to support that interoperability? Are there any other questions?
There are no further questions on the phone.
Okay, there's a question about collection of quality measures. Can you please elaborate on that question for me, please? And while you do that, I'll go ahead and summarize the questions and maybe the follow-up items that I see here. So anything that was related specifically to the health home requirements, we'll go ahead and shoot that over to the appropriate folks at Department of Health to answer that and provide the responses to this, post them at least to the area where everybody that participated in this webinar can access them. There are specific questions on care management software applications and case management software applications and certification bodies that may have lists of who these are or have accredited those particular items, and that's something I know that I would like to bring back to all of the areas that are supporting this initiative to ensure that we can provide direction for you. So as a provider in many health home networks, we will have to be able to bill many different systems in various health homes. Our EHR is able to do this. I think that's a conversation you would need to have with your EHR vendor. Again, define what your requirements are and how you envision the communications to work and where that's going to be managed, and then loop in your vendor to see if that capability exists. From a primary care perspective, I haven't seen how they do that, but billing for groups of individuals or sessions may be something that they can cover, but the conversation should be with your vendor. So quality measures will be on the Medicaid website. Initially, they'll be claims-based, so I would keep going back to the Medicaid website. Do EHRs have to include decision support system tools? Do they have to include? They probably don't have to, but to be certified in multiple settings, the answer in turn becomes yes. So there are decision support tools available in an EHR. Now, for the health homes, the EHRs must have a clinical decision support module, so please keep that in mind when you're looking, and if they're certified, they probably do have a clinical decision support module. Okay. Okay, so looking at the array of questions that have come through on chat, there seems to be a large number of needs here. So at the conclusion of this session, a survey will be disseminated to all the participants. Please take the time to go through the survey and critique this particular presentation, but mostly, can you go through the question that asks what additional sessions or services that we can collectively ensure we have resources for to provide an educational series to help you support the health homes in what you're doing in the field today? What needs you have in terms of finding data or systems or tools? That information is helpful so we can use our networks, not just the New York eHealth Collaborative, but all of the supporting organizations to find those resources for you. So if there are no other questions specific to vendor selection, I would like to say thank you very much for your time this afternoon, and we look forward to seeing those results in the survey. And Sharon will facilitate the session on February 16th, specific on privacy and security.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a great day, everybody.